As always, thankful for the prayers and appreciate your continued prayers as we continue to look at the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And last Sunday started what, Lord willing, will be a series of messages, and just have titled them Lessons from an Old Preacher and King. And I want to continue looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And what we're going to see here with Solomon, and I made this reference last Sunday, but my father, when I was younger, would try to teach me lessons, and sometimes he would make the comment, "I want you to learn from my mistakes." And you know, back then I did not give that a lot of credence, but as you get older, you start reliving some of those lessons, and thankful for the ones that you did heed, but then there are those that you didn't listen to, and you have to relearn those lessons. And as we think about Solomon, yet another example of this being the inspired word of God, I don't know of anyone, certainly myself, that would freely write about all of the mistakes that I made. When someone sets out to write an autobiography, or if someone commissions an individual to write about them, they may mention some of the bad, but for the most part, we like to paint ourselves in a positive light. And this is a testimony here of the inspiration of God, because Solomon, he writes by the inspiration of God about all of the mistakes that he made, and all of the journeys in his life where his pursuits, as we have already noted in this chapter, and we will continue to note in God's Word, all of his carnal pursuits that just end up being what he says are vanity and vexation of spirit. And we spent a lot of time last Sunday talking about our lives, and the responsibility for us as God's people is to make sure that our lives are in sync with God. And again, the big message in the book of Ecclesiastes is that any pursuit that we undertake in this world, when we divorce it from the will of God and from the Word of God, it's going to end in frustration, it's going to end in futility, and it's never going to satisfy. And this morning, I want us to look at a particular aspect of the life of Solomon and what he references here. We read it a little bit last Sunday, but I want to go in depth here, and we'll take up this morning Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We'll read verses 12 through 18, and what we're going to see here is what Solomon says about the futility of seeking knowledge and wisdom apart from God. So verse 12, it says this, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all the things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered." Verse 16, he says, "I communed with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." These are the words of the old preacher king concerning knowledge and wisdom. Now, first of all, I want to explain what this is not saying here, because I think that's important. As we read this passage of Scripture, I don't want you to take away from this that Solomon is anti-knowledge or against individuals seeking more information and seeking more meaning about the world around them. And there have been some religious circles that have taken that stance, that it's not for us as God's people to broaden our knowledge of the things of the world. Well, I don't think that the Scripture ever authorizes us as God's people to walk around ignorant. And I want to say I'm thankful for godly people that have sought education, that have sought higher education. I have been in education my whole career. I told Brother Jax just the other day, I've been going to school now for 44 years. And I'm still going. Some of you may know, I started going back to school several years ago, and Lord willing, I'll be finished this summer, and I won't be going to school for me for a while. I've reached the age where I think things are like falling off of my brain. I've maybe hit critical mass or something. We're not anti-education. I'm thankful for doctors that have dedicated their lives to learn more about the human body and learn how to treat sickness and how to treat cancer. And I'm thankful for my pharmacist that learned how to measure in very tiny increments that I can't perceive, and how to mix the medicines that we need that keep us functioning. So never in God's word is education dismissed. That's not what Solomon is saying here. But what Solomon is saying here is the pursuit of knowledge separated from God is what is the vanity and the vexation of spirit. And I want to tell you, my friends, we need to understand that in 2026, as we pursue academics, as we pursue learning, as we try to make sense of the world around us, as God's people, we need to be careful to not divorce God and His Word from those pursuits. And that's where the challenges come from. I want you to note here, as we read this passage of Scripture here, just the personal pronouns that Solomon uses during this time. Now, again, he is chronicling his pursuits in life. And you see here how many times he says, I and me and my. And he's reflecting back on that time in his life when he was seeking out these things. And again, during this time, his life was out of balance and out of sync with God. And that's where he comes to this conclusion. Again, he says, in much wisdom is grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. He wasn't anti-education. But again, the primary message that he's going to give us as we look at all of these pursuits that Solomon endeavored to learn about, the problem came when God was separated from it all. And I want you to understand the problem in our culture, and we look at challenges and difficulties, and they've been here throughout human history, ever since the fall, is when we take knowledge and information and try to divorce it from God. That's where we run into the challenges. That's where we run into the difficulties. And you can look in history and see that pattern, and Solomon warns us here on the pages of Scripture, as we pursue knowledge and understanding and wisdom of this world, it has to be tempered with the things of God. We use the term intellectualism. That's a very broad term. And so again, there's these ideas that as God's people, we should not be devoting time to those endeavors. But when we talk about the term intellectualism, I want you to see the Bible never condemns knowledge or learning, but what we see is the difficulty comes when we put human reasoning, when we put knowledge, when we put education as the ultimate authority, and we try to separate it from God's Word, from God's revealed truth for us as God's people. The real challenge comes is when we replace the revelation of Scripture with the reason of man. And that's been the tension, you know, throughout history as far as making sense of the world around us, as far as education, as far as how we examine ourselves. And this may be going on a rabbit trail, but you can go all the way back to the time of the great Greek philosophers. You remember studying them in school. You had Plato and Aristotle. And they make up a good representation that you can even trace down through history and even see it permeating our culture today. You had Plato and Aristotle. Now, this is very simplistic, but I don't have all day, just a few minutes. Plato's view of the world was that the world that we live in is really a broken copy of the world. Now, he did not have the revelation of Scripture. They existed at least a couple centuries before Jesus Christ even came into the world. But the philosopher Plato, he thought the world that we lived in, something wasn't quite right about it. It was a poor copy of something better out there somewhere. So, you know, he would look at this stuff and say, well, this building, this existence that we live in is just really, really a poor copy. And to me, he's trying to see, he sees the brokenness. He sees that things aren't right. And, he's trying to make sense of that. Now, Aristotle, he looked around and he thought, well, what we have here in the material is all that there is, and we just need to do the best that we can and do the best with what we have. Live and exist within the boundaries, within the norms of your society, within the norms of your culture. You just do the best within that. And those schools of philosophy, those philosophies, they go all throughout history then. And what that is, when you see Aristotle's thoughts and philosophies, that begins the birth of humanism. And what you have happen when you go from there throughout history is you have godly philosophers, you have those that follow after the things of God, and then you have folks that say, well, what we have here that we can see, that we can observe, that we experience around us is all that there is to it. Now, mind you, Jesus Christ, you have the Greek philosophers, that Greek line of thought, and then the Roman line of thought. Jesus Christ was born into that as the Messiah, and we see here, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you have that challenge that goes on, and Jesus Christ comes into the world, and he upends a lot of these ideas, but what you have happening, basically, you have this school of thought that says the observable, what we can just reason from our own experiences, what we can just reason from our own circumstances is all that there is to it. And then you have what I believe is a biblical school of thought that says this here is not all that there is to it. And when you study philosophy and when you study sociology and study all of these people smarter than I am that have thought through these things, you can usually draw a distinction that way. You know, and there's this idea you're either just going to solely follow reason and human experience, or you're going to look at it through the lens of God's word, the lens of God's truth, and make sense of the world that way. And that's really the problem. You think about education. What has been the loudest voice in most educational circles is we're just going to focus on the observable. We're just going to focus on our human experiences. And now, you know, humanism is this idea that, you know, everything's just shifting and changing based off of our human experiences. And you can take that down to its logical end that says, well, you know, what's right for you is good, but it may not be right for me. And my reality is different than your reality. And throughout the annals of history, that's what gets us to where we are today. But as God's people, we understand that human reasoning is not the supreme authority. You know, even, you know, certainly we can observe and make distinctions based off of the world around us, but the things that we see and the things that we experience as human beings is not the final authority. Some people think that, well, our experiences. Some philosophers think our experiences are the final authority. Solomon, what we're going to see as he dives into this, he says that these lines of thinking just lead to frustration. He was a frustrated old king and preacher because of this, and he was trying to warn God's people. Solomon, during this time, had forgotten what he had written in Proverbs chapter 3. And this is really what we want to understand when we pursue any endeavor here in this life, and specifically this morning as we talk about the pursuit of knowledge and the pursuit of understanding, is what Solomon said, Proverbs 3 and verse 5, where he says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Solomon had forgotten that. And you know what? If we're not careful, we will forget it as well. One line of thought that says that just the observable, just my experiences, that's what compromises my worldview, and that's what compromises how I live my life. That ultimately just leads to an elevation of self and an inflated view of self. And such it has been throughout the annals of history. You look at, doctrinal differences. You can break doctrinal differences into basically, I'm able to get the job done myself, or I'm dependent upon God. And I'll say that. I mean, I could go all day just talking about that stuff, but I want you to just understand this. What we believe matters. the philosophies that we embrace matter. How we look at every area and aspect of our life matters, and how we pursue education and educational pursuits matter. I mentioned it very briefly the other day that, there are many brilliant minds out there that have driven themselves to madness because they divorce their making sense of the world around them from God, and it leads them to frustration. Many have, it descended into madness and it gross immorality and hopelessness and even the loss of their own lives because they try to make sense of the world around them separate from God. But we understand as God's people, this world that we live in is a broken world. This world that we live in has been corrupted by sin, and every area of this world has been corrupted. And we understand by faith that we do not only just embrace the things that we see, but we embrace those things that are unseen that the Bible says are eternal. And Solomon is going to speak about this. And we'll go to the passage now, going back to verse 12. Solomon again says that, he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. We reference Solomon just a little bit. This is Solomon writing the book of Ecclesiastes. He was the one that was the king. He was the son of David that was the king over Israel. And he is given the title here of preacher. And we noted last Sunday that he was sharing his experiences, as the king of Israel, and essentially bringing these people in and sharing, and again, by the inspiration of God, sharing his endeavors that led to his futility and his frustration. And what Solomon is saying here, this is not theory. This is the testimony of a man that was blessed with great wisdom, but a man that got off track. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 4, I believe about verse 29 and 30, Solomon, we see here, has this meeting with God. God visited Solomon twice here, and at the end of chapter 4, we see the Bible says that God gave Solomon great wisdom. It says, let's turn there. It says, gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and it says it gave him largeness of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. And the Bible says during that time, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. This was Solomon as a young man, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. God blessed him with wisdom and blessed him with everything else as well. This was early on in Solomon's life. I submit unto you this morning, friends, that if we have any wisdom and understanding as far as the things that are pleasing unto God and really any sense at all, it's a blessing and a gift from God. And we have that. Solomon has that. But again, somewhere along the way, as this flesh is apt to do, he gets sidetracked. But he goes on, we see in what we've read here in chapter 1 and verse 13, he says this, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom. Solomon was a man that was committed to wisdom. Again, this is a man with unlimited resources. This is a man who had control of his time. He was the king. He could make the schedule. No one dictated a schedule to Solomon during this time. He says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom. Now, Solomon didn't just engage in a surface level learning experience. He just wasn't curious about the things that were going on around him. He sought a deep and intellectual pursuit of understanding the world around him. And notice what he talks about this as he goes on in verse 13. He describes it this way. He says, "This sore travail hath God given." So what we have pictured here is a knowledge that is a labor. It was a struggle. It was a mental exertion, and it was a toil for him. And I want to tell you, just in general, just learning and trying to make sense of this world that we live in, it's laborsome and toilsome. And what he's going to refer to here as he goes on, he talks about all of this in verse 14 as under the sun. And that phrase, I mentioned that phrase last Sunday, that's a phrase that's going to continue to show up in the book of Ecclesiastes. When he talks about under the sun, he's talking about this world and the what consists of this fallen world that we live in. This reminds us when we see under the sun, he's talking about not the spiritual, but the carnal. And I want to tell you, there are so many people out there that are seeking knowledge and seeking understanding. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, but if we just limit our knowledge and our understanding and just allow what's under this sun to frame our worldview, it is inevitably going to lead to nothing but frustration. And here's the thing about learning, that the more that you learn in this world, the more frustrated you become about things. Yeah, when you study history in depth, and that's what my original education was in history. When you study the history of this world and you see people repeating history that you've studied, and you see over and over again them repeating history that's not good for folks, that can become frustrating. When you just study the nature of people, I can imagine Solomon, you know, in a sociological endeavor, just trying to make sense of people and how frustrating that can be. I'm going to tell you what, you try to make sense of people divorced from the Word of God, it'll make you want to find somewhere out in the woods somewhere and just leave everybody else alone. You know, and there have been people that have tried to do that. The problem is that if I go out in the woods alone, I'm still there, and I'm part of the problem in my flesh. he says, everything that's under the sun. And then we use that last term again. He says, all, verse 14, he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. The word vanity here means an emptiness, a vapor, a something that's fleeting. We talked about like when a breath leaves your body, you can't grab it, you can't contain it. And he says that knowledge reveals a lot, but it does not satisfy. And I love the progression here, and we talked about this just very briefly the other day, where he makes the reference of that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Here is the problem, one of the problems of just trying to make sense of the world around you, divorced from God's Word. You know, if you are sincerely studying, you know, humanity, sociology, history, you're going to find that this world is a messed up place. Again, history repeats itself. Things happen in cycles. Do you realize that yet? I've worked long enough in education now, and Brother Doug can tell you in education now that after a while, it's like a pendulum that swings back and forth. You know, you give 20 or 30 years in education, someone comes along and brings something new and great that's going to solve all the problems, and well, they tried that 10 or 15 years ago. You're around long enough with a job, and you know you have people that are above you that come and go, and everybody has these great new ideas. Well, a lot of times those great new ideas, they've been tried over and over again. And you know, if understanding God's Word and human nature, people mess up every day. People mess up. Even in the greatest institutions in this world, people mess up. You say, well, I don't understand why there's so much corruption in our government. Well, you examine just governments everywhere, and there's corruption everywhere. You say, well, I don't understand why people that are incompetent are in positions of leadership. People all over the world, there are people that are incompetent that are in positions of leadership. Well, I don't know why people treat each other that way. I don't know why families treat each other that way. And if you don't understand that we live in a fallen humanity, that will tie you up in knots. And I know that there's well-meaning people that have tried to solve these problems and just gotten frustrated to the point where they throw up their hands and give up. And if we only did this, if we only did that, my friends, this world is a broken world that we live in. But the even better news is that this world isn't our home. So Solomon, in all this, he gave his heart, he said, to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things, he said, that are done under heaven. I think he endeavored to do that. And it's amazing to think about, you know, what he studied and the depth of the things that he studied. But he called it a burden. With knowledge comes a burden, because you, again, learn more about the world that you live in, and it's not all great. It's not all roses. It's not all like you see on the television. And you know, you carry those burdens as you learn more. He called it a sore travail. He says, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Then he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I just think about that from his position as king over Israel, and his responsibilities in dealing with people. If you deal with people in your job, I hope that you have a good understanding of the fallenness of this world that we live in, and some understanding that we're called to be patient and we're called to exercise grace to one another. And I love what, again, he says in verse 15. He says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Solomon references here what the major problem is in our lives. What is the biggest problem that we have in the government of the United States of America? What is the biggest problem that we have when we go to work for whatever company we go to work for on Monday morning? What is the biggest problem we have in our local communities? What's the biggest problem when you have to call the electric company to get something worked on? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. Many of the major philosophers that have existed, that are on the pages of our history book that we read about, many of them failed to understand that right there. And I think what Solomon is reminding us here is the sinfulness of man, or more specifically, the sinful nature of man. Why is Brother Michael not the preacher that you would like him to be, or not the pastor that you would like him to be? Because I have this sinful nature that I battle with. Why is it when I go to work and I tell my employee again for the 55th time to make sure that they do thus and so and they don't do it? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. And he says, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Let me pause right there, though. I want you to understand the great blessing. If we just left it there, we would be extremely frustrated. We cannot make it straight, but we serve a great God that has made it straight for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful blessing. We're not left there as God's people, because we understand that Jesus Christ came into the world to make that straight which we could not make straight. And that's the good news that we have. And that, I believe, that's the ultimate hope that Solomon has. And I would that we, as we endeavor to learn more about the world around us, certainly as God has gifted us and blessed us with abilities, use the gifts that God has given you. But remember, at the very best, we live in a broken world where sin has corrupted everything, even corrupt down to our very core. And it has impacted this world that we live in, and we need to understand that perspective, because if we don't, we will find ourselves very cynical, just wanting to isolate ourselves from everything else. It's a bad road. If we are in sync with God as God's people, We understand that this world is broken, but this world is not our home, and we have a Savior who came into this world and laid down his life for our sins. That's good news, isn't it? You know, when I go to work tomorrow morning, something's going to happen that's going to annoy me, and usually it happens real quick on Mondays. But I'm thankful that by the grace of God, I know that he's going to make it all right someday. You know, we think about those that we love, and we all have those circumstances that we think about. I've definitely got things in my life. If I could fix them and make them right, I would. But I understand that I'm not going to be able to fix everything and make it right in this world. But God knows, and he is able to do a far much better job than I'll ever be able to do in making things right. But Solomon, as we go on, we see, again, he's out of sync here. He goes in verse 16. He says, I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. He says, and have gotten more wisdom than they all that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great knowledge of wisdom and great experience of wisdom and knowledge. He wasn't bragging here. He had these opportunities. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceived that this is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. My friends, when we go out and live our lives here in this world, and this applies wherever you are in life, if you're going to get up and go to school in the morning, if you're going to go to college, if you're increasing your education for your work or whatever, don't divorce it from the things of God. And here is the challenge that we face, because the predominant voice out in our world in many areas is that we are to divorce our education and learning and knowledge from God. That is the predominant idea. Remember, the world says whatever you can see, whatever your current experiences are, that's what's most important. And my friends, that leads us down a bad road. By faith as God's people, we move forward and we look at everything else in this world through the lens of the things that God has given us and revealed to us through his word. You know, learning for this, just for the sake of learning apart from God, leads to frustration. You know, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, he was writing to Timothy. If I remember correctly, it was in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He writes about those individuals that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What is truth? Well, for us as God's people, the ultimate truth is contained in God's word. The world says, study God's word, or study the Bible, read the Bible, but just read the Bible as just another book on the shelf of other books, and just take a little bit from each book and comprise your worldview, and then go out and live your lives. And, you know, many in the world just do that. They're ever learning, and they're never able to come to the truth. By faith, as God's people, we're to allow this book to govern our worldview and help us make sense and understand of every other piece of learning here in this world. You know, I want people that are educated out in the world, but I want godly people who are sincerely seeking the truth of God's word, and they're tempering how they do their jobs and how they live their lives in this world in accordance to God's word. I want my law enforcement people to be godly people. If you've got someone with that power and authority divorced from God, that's where a lot of our problems come from. I want my doctor to believe in God, because there comes times in our lives where they exhaust all of their knowledge and information. I want my doctor to be a person of that prays and asks God for wisdom and asks God for discernment. I want the folks that are teaching my kids and so forth to have a godly worldview. Understand that there is something beyond this world. There is something beyond just what we see and observe and experience here in this world. It makes a difference, my friends. Don't buy into the idea that Christianity is just one option or one philosophy among many that we're to pull from. That is a lie from Satan himself. Here it comes from the man who had gotten more wisdom than everyone else. Solomon says this. What is the truth? Well, very quickly, in the book of Proverbs, here is, we see with Solomon, wisdom separated from God, wisdom out of balance. Wisdom out of balance and separated from God can lead to all sorts of just bizarre things, all sorts of things that just are just so far out there. And you see things happen in our world today that you would never imagine. It's knowledge and wisdom divorced from God. Here's what we say in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. I just want us to think a little bit about what godly wisdom is. Again, Solomon, when he was in sync with God, he says this, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." There you go. Tomorrow morning, I hope that when you go to school or you go to college or wherever your day takes you tomorrow, that you will begin with a reverential awe and a reverential devotion to God himself. Here's where we need to start with our pursuit of wisdom and knowledge. Fear the Lord. The fear, and this isn't talking about cowering in a corner, being scared of God like he's some monster, but it's talking about reverential fear. It's talking about giving God the glory that's due to him, giving God the honor that's due to him. Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, this is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And notice this, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom begins, child of God. Wisdom begins with a reverence for God. Wisdom doesn't begin with intellect. There's a lot of intellectual people out there that have all sorts of far out the ideas because they don't reverence God as they ought to. Wisdom does not begin with education. Again, we're not anti-education. Wisdom begins with God. The Bible teaches this not only is that the starting point, but true wisdom is a gift. In the book of James, in James chapter 1, James would say this, if you lack wisdom, let him ask for God, that he says, giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. My friends, oftentimes I think we find ourselves getting out of sync with God because we simply don't go to him in prayer and ask him for wisdom and discernment. I can chronicle in my life, I'm not going to be like Solomon and write a book about all the mistakes that I've made. Sorry. But what I can tell you is that many of the mistakes that I have made in my life is because I've tried to do things my own way before I sought God and waited on God and asked God to give me wisdom and give me discernment in a situation. True wisdom, I guess you could say true wisdom is not achieved, but it's received by God. Wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom without God is a dangerous thing. Paul would say this to the church at Corinth, and they were battling this very philosophy during this time. And understand, I didn't mention this at the very beginning, but you have the early church that comes along. We read about in the book of Acts, and we read through the Gospels in the New Testament. It was a very, very, very short period of time before these battles were going on in the early church with folks who were divorcing wisdom and divorcing knowledge from God. A lot of that's written about the Gnostics that I've talked about here before. They were infiltrating and influencing the church. The Gnostics who they said this, they said, well, Jesus is good and he did all of this, but you need a little bit more. So it started permeating the early church, and they were fighting this at the very beginning. And again, you had those that came from the Jewish background that were saying, well, you've got to do a little bit more. These works-based systems that are still a challenge today, they come from this idea that we know better than God. We don't need God to figure out how to navigate our lives. Well, Paul would say to the church at Corinth, knowledge puffeth up. You could say that, I believe, safely, saying knowledge without God puffeth up. It puffs up. And when we're puffed up, that's just pride. And that's by pride says this. It says, well, if I can understand it, if I can make sense of it, then I can master it. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. Can we master our eternal salvation? Nope. even in the time that we live in right now, that, you know, as a born-again child of God, I still mess up on a daily basis. I'm thankful that the Bible teaches eternal security, because I lost it a long time ago. A lot of that's just the illusion of control. Solomon says, I've searched through all of these things. I've given my heart to know wisdom. And he talks about to know madness and folly. You know, his academic and educational pursuits took him to a place mentally that I think, again, a lot of people go away, you know, apart from God. He says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and know madness and folly. There's things in this world that will drive you mad. You know, we hear the term blissfully ignorant. There may be some good to that in a lot of things, but he went down the rabbit hole. That's what we call it at work when we're trying to problem solve something and think through it. Sometimes we'll go down the rabbit hole and lose track of time. Solomon was saying, I've gone down that rabbit hole, and I've perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. And again, he says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The answer for us as God's people, this is very practical, boots to the ground discipleship, is that we are not to divorce knowledge and understanding from God. So when you go to school and, you know, take your filter with you, the filter of God's word. You know, if we would just do that, ground ourselves in the doctrine of God's word. And when we go to school and we hear these philosophies and these ideologies that deviate from God's word, we need to take our filter and filter that out. That's what you have to do. A lot of times people say, well, we just need to abandon higher education. We just need to abandon these institutions. And every individual and every family has to make that choice for themselves. But I tell you what, we can all do in every circumstance that we can go in. We can take God's word and discern what's truth and what's error. Take the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Eat the chicken and throw away the bone. We should do that in every area of our lives. Be discerning. Be discerning when you come to this place, because I'm not perfect either. That's what we're called to do. You're not going to be able to do that if you don't have an understanding of God's word. That's why it's so important for us to read and study God's word. Solomon says, I've studied it all. He had his postdoctoral degree in the time that he lived in. He amassed knowledge. And again, we talked about just the incredible, again, wealth and power and prestige that Solomon had. If, you know, he didn't have the internet back then, but if he needed some text from a far off region, he had the means to get it. It just, you know, we don't really fully understand just the access and the power that he had during that time. But he says that it is all vanity and vexation of spirit. So what was Solomon's final word? And we'll go back to this again, but he would say this in Ecclesiastes 12 in verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. After searching the great libraries of his time, after reading the great scrolls that contain just all of the knowledge and information that was available to him during that time, after all that searching, this is what the wisest man ever said. Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, if you become a doctor, if you become a college professor, if you become a leader of the nation, a senator, a governor, the president of the United States, the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Knowledge and information is good, but it's not the ultimate. Wisdom is essential, but my friends, listen to me. Wisdom begins with God. You may gain knowledge. You may achieve success. You may have a lot of understanding, a lot of practical understanding about this world that we live in, but divorced from God, child of God, it is nothing but emptiness and vanity. And as God's people, here's what we need to strive to do. We need to strive to pursue knowledge, but in humility, knowing that it's not just the observable that's around us, that there is a spiritual realm and there is an unseen eternity out there. And as God's people, we need to seek wisdom prayerfully. You know, that's why prayer is so important. Before you go out and do your job or go out to school in the morning, take some time and pray that God would bless you with wisdom and discernment. Because we understand the Bible teaches us this. I'll use this as our closing verse in Psalm 111. It says that the fear, Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he says this, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. My friends, as God's people, we can do that by his grace. I'm thankful for godly academics in this world. You know, and you look out throughout the course of history, there have been many godly men and women that have done great things in that with that foundation. A godly foundation is not a detriment, no matter what culture tells us today. It is so necessary. You know, if God's people aren't the salt and the light of the world, then what's the influence going to be? I pray that we would continue to examine ourselves, and when we find ourselves out of balance with God's word, out of balance with the will of God, that we would repent and we would adjust. We have to do that on a daily basis as God's people. I have to do that for sure. We all need that spiritual attitude adjustment. Let's turn to song number 296.